thank you for listening to another Hastings NAS podcast. We are so pleased that you have shown interest in listening to this podcast, and we pray that it is edifying and beneficial for you. You can watch us live every Sunday morning on Facebook, facebook.com/HastingsNAS. And if you are so inclined, you can support the ministries of the church by going to hastingsnas.org/give. Hope you enjoy this sermon. Grace and peace. Our children at this time are dismissed for children's church. Kids up to fifth grade, you can head on back to the classroom behind the sanctuary. And as they make their way out, I want to invite the church to stand for the gospel reading. and we have an epistle reading. We're reading from two passages of scripture this morning, John 17 and Romans 12. Two shorter texts. I want you to listen to the words of Christ and then to the words of St. Paul. John 17, 20 through 23. I ask not on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so the world may know you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And then Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Church, would you hear what the Spirit is saying to the world? Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, today is our last Sunday of this series that we've been focusing on this summer, the missional movement, and we're going to focus on our last movement today, which is? Become. You knew it started with a B, though. It may seem strange that there is a movement after belonging, because sometimes I think we think that's the end game, right? Well, we belong. That's the point. That's what we're doing, but truth be told, there is no end game, not with the missional movement. There's no reaching it or making it. It's this continual process. There's never a point where we stop growing or drawing closer to Christ in our faith. We're always to be moving towards Him. So let me articulate the difference for us today between belonging and becoming. What's the difference between belonging to Christ's church and becoming a part of it? You remember last Sunday we talked about drifting in the water, that it's hard to keep your footing on the water when you have no movement. And we talked about how you know you belong to a person or an organization when your life is changed because of them, when you're going on a different trajectory because of it. Becoming is like that, but it's more than that. We've articulated this movement, become, in this way. Through deeper commitment and sacrificial service, both persons and the church will reflect the image of God more fully. That's how we've described what it means to become. And so I thought, well, what's a good way to describe that relationship? And I could not think of anything other than, some of you will appreciate this, it might be a deep cut. So I'm just pre-warning you. I've got two metaphors for this sermon, because this first one might be a little too deep of a cut. But I couldn't not think of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And the church said, thank you. There's one amen. Jadzia Dax was a character in the Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and she was a Trill symbiote. There was a symbiotic relationship between, she had a symbiont and Trill. And this is a unique relationship for this species of humanoids in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Tom Gibbons is not here. That's why I didn't get the amen. He would have had it for me. He's with the kids. That's where it was. I know, Phil didn't. Phil, you were quiet. All our Trekkies were quiet. This is a relationship between this humanoid person and this symbiont. Jadzia Dax was formerly Curzon Dax, and Jadzia Dax became Ezri Dax. Dax is this symbiont being, this small being that dwells within the humanoid. and it lives through multiple generations of this person's life. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. And the symbiont cannot live without a host. It's a symbiotic relationship. Not parasitical. Do you know what a parasitical relationship is? Where one sucks life from the other, right? And one is harmed in that relationship. The host is harmed. But then a symbiotic relationship is not harmful to either, but is mutually beneficial for both. And that's what Jadzia Dax was in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Maybe that's not going to resonate with you. I know this next one will. We all remember Finding Nemo, right? How Nemo lived in what? An anemone, right? A sea anemone. The relationship between a clownfish and a sea anemone is symbiotic. It's an example of what in science they call mutualism. It's mutually beneficial for both creatures. An anemone have stinging tentacles that they use to catch prey. But guess what? It doesn't hurt the clownfish. For whatever reason, the clownfish has this enzyme on their skin that they're not going to get stung by the sea anemone. So the anemone provides a safe home for the clownfish because other creatures and animals can't get in there. But the clownfish will also eat parasites that try to live within the sea anemone. These two animals have this mutually beneficial relationship. And actually what's unique is that the clownfish provides nutrients to the sea anemone through its feces. So it's a really healthy relationship. It's mutualism. It's healthy and beneficial for both. This symbiosis, this mutualism, I think is what it means to become. It's not parasitical. It's symbiotic. This mutually beneficial relationship is what we hope becoming part of the church means. That it's not just one party who benefits or one party who is made whole because of this relationship. And I think in John chapter 17, this is articulated well. We just read John chapter 17. I don't know if you know this about John chapter 17. This is the longest single quote we have of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The longest quote of Jesus in the New Testament is John chapter 17. And do you know what it is? The longest quote of our Savior is a prayer. John 17 is a prayer. The most we have of one thing Jesus said is a prayer. And this is Jesus' prayer that he prays before his execution. Before he's going to be crucified, before he's going to be lifted up on that tree, he knows he's going to be taken, and this is his petition to his Father. This is his last words before he'll be crucified. And he prays to his Father before his arrest. And in this prayer, he prays not for himself, but for his disciples, and even for those who would become his disciples. What will be his church? His prayer for the church is that we would have unity, like he and his Father have unity. Now, the language we use in the church to describe unity is not that of symbiosis or a symbiotic relationship. That might help us wrap our head around this mutually beneficial relationship. But in the church, we have specific language that talks about the unity of the Father and the Son. We talk about the Trinity. If you really want to get technical, we could talk about the hypostatic union. That is a great, great, really fun theological topic to discuss. Amen? You all want to talk about the hypostatic union, don't you? No, we talk about the Trinity. Our articulation of the relationship between the Father, Son, and Spirit is this. They are one in three and three in one. Not divisive. We cannot divide between the Father and the Son. They are one, but they are not the same person. God is one being. God is one, and God is three persons. This is a unique mystery that we confess. We do not claim to comprehend, we claim to confess it. Jesus' prayer then is quite radical if you think about John chapter 17. In light of the Trinitarian relationship, it's kind of radical what he says. He prays, may they be one as we are one. May my disciples be one in the way that I am one with you, Father. I mean, that's kind of crazy. May there be unity in the church like there is unity in the Trinity. To become is to be united. We may not share our being with others in the way that the Father and the Son share being, but I tell you, we can be one in mission and one in purpose. We can have unity around what God has commissioned us to do. To become is to be united, and to be divided then hinders yours and others' ability to become a part of this church. Sometimes in the church, not our church, of course. Not our church, of course, right? We've got everything A-okay. But sometimes in some churches, there are parties that are divisive. There are those who are not seeking unity with others, and they would seek to harm. I'm going to tell you, church, if our aim at any point is to be divided or to be over against others in our congregation, we are hindering not only our own ability to become a part of this church, we are hindering theirs. To become part of the people of God is to have true unity. Not sameness, not uniformity, not conformity, but unity. Unity in diversity, and the unity of purpose and unity of mission has real world implications. I want to tell you a quick story to articulate this. When I was in high school and in college, my family would go on these sailing trips in northern Lake Huron, the north channel of Lake Huron above Manitoulin Island in Canadian waters. We would charter a sailboat, we'd live on it for about eight days, and these are pristine, crystal clear Canadian waters. When we chartered the boat, do you know what they said to us? They said, hey, if you guys run out of water, just throw a bucket over the side of the lake. You'll be fine. Waters are clean enough. So we would live on a boat. My family would live on a boat. We went three times, and these are some of my favorite family vacations to look back on. Yes, being cramped in a boat with my immediate family for more than a week. Some of my favorite family vacations. But I remember this one trip. There was this one night when we were up on the boat. We were sleeping out on the water. We were not moored to a dock, so sometimes we would go to a dock. We would go to a harbor and connect and moor up to a dock and spend the night there, tied up to the dock. This night we were kind of in this little cove in this area called the Benjamins, up in the North Channel, and we weren't at a dock. We set anchor, and we were just sleeping on the boat in this little cove in this area that had all these massive boulders. It was really fun to navigate to get in there. During the night, as night set upon us, this massive storm blew in. I mean, massive storm. And it was huge. I mean, this was in Canada, and there was a tornado. There's a tornado not far from the place where we were not docked, just anchored. And when you read about the disciples being afraid when the storm came up, we all felt some connection with them. We were on the water with nowhere to go, with only an anchor keeping us secure. But my dad, being a seasoned sailor, knew that it was unsafe for us to stay there anchored to the bottom of the lake because the wind could come up such that it would rip the moorings off the boat. We could get tossed and turned by the wind so much that it would release us from our anchor. And we knew that the current of the water, it could push us so hard or so far that it could maybe drag the anchor to a point where we get stuck, or it could separate us from our anchor, the current of the water. And so my dad decided in the middle of the night that the safest thing we could do was to pull up the anchor and start sailing, or rather motoring. We were going to put our sails up in the storm, but we had to start moving for the duration of that storm. So all night long, it was all hands on deck. There were no passengers on board that day. We were all working all through the night. Everyone had a job, and none of us had the luxury of coasting. We all had a job. We all had a function. Every single one of us had a purpose, and we were united in mission and purpose that night, because we had no alternatives. It was dangerous to stay where we were. And that unity meant that there were no stowaways. There were no passengers. It meant that we needed to be used for the common good that night. And you see, the way the Apostle Paul talks about the unity and of purpose and mission in the church is by describing it as a body. We read from Romans 12. As in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ Jesus. And individually, we are members of one another. That might be good news to you or bad news to you, but I'm here to break it to you. Look to your right, look to your left, look behind you, look in front of you. You are members of one another. You belong to each other. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes, you are. We are members of one another. Unity. Members of one another. Diversity. Not all the members have the same function. Each member of this body participates in the mission and purpose of that body. So how Paul is describing it. So it is with us. We have a purpose. I'm telling you, friends, you have a purpose for this church. You have a function that serves God's mission here. God can and will use you for God's purposes to reveal His love, His grace, His compassion, His mercy, if you will but let Him. If your posture is, use me where you will, God, I promise you that you will be surprised at how faithful God is. If you say to God, you know what, God, use me where you will for your good through this local expression of your body, you will be surprised at what God can do through you. You see, to become a part of this expression of God's good and beautiful community, it looks like this. All hands on deck. It looks like no mere passengers. It looks like when the storm is raging around you, you grab a line and you pull it. You grab the steering wheel and you direct the ship. Not all of us will have the same function. And that's okay. And that's good. It looks like being remembered to the body. In order to make that body a fuller expression of what God intends for a good and beautiful community. So the question is, what is that work? What is that thing that this expression of God's community is to do? What do we do to share in Christ's work? Well, I'm telling you, we've been talking about it for 5 weeks now. We are in our community for our community. We are not separated from them. We are invested in them. How did we begin this service? What song did we sing? For God so hated the world, He created an alternative. Is that what we sing? Did God in John 3:16, we often forget John 3:17. I came to condemn others, right? To make sure they feel real bad and shamed about how they are and how they're not Christians, right? For God so loved the world, God loved the world, even them, that He gave His Son, not in order to condemn it, but so that it might be transformed, so that it might be saved through Him. You see, we engage our world, and for us, that's our local community. We participate in kingdom engagement. We welcome people into the community of faith. And we don't make it too hard for them. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of people who are unchurched, who are unfamiliar with the protocol of the church, who don't know what it means to belong to the church. They have no imagination for it. They show up in church with a hat on. Somebody comes up and rips the hat off and says, "What are you doing wearing a hat here?" Guess what that person feels? Oh, I don't belong here. I feel shame. We are a welcoming people. Let me ask you a question. Is there anyone here who needs God's grace less than you do? Is there anyone here who needs God's grace less than you? Or do you needs God's grace more than you do? That's the question. Is there anyone here who needs God's grace more than you? Do you need God's grace less than anyone else? I'm telling you, I'm the chief of sinners. I need God's grace just as much as you do. Where else do we want people to go? We are a welcoming people. What does this work look like? It looks like building bridges with others. I'm telling you right now, we are living in polarizing times. We are living in polarizing circumstances, friends. We are being told who we should hate all the time. And yet Christ said something about our enemies. We build bridging relationships because transformation comes when we have relationship with people who might be different than us. We have an opportunity to be a place of unity in a world that's divided. We build bridges for the purpose of God's kingdom. And those bridges can bring people out of their hate-filled, polarized perspectives to a center that is grounded in love and compassion. We make larger tables and we tear down walls. You see, to become a part of who God is calling us to be is to be united with others. You remember, church, that belonging we talked about last Sunday begins with encountering Christ. Belonging comes not because you've jumped through the hoops or done the things or paid the dues. Belonging begins when you have an encounter with your crucified Lord. So when you have had this encounter with the resurrected one, when you join the community Christ has created, it is not just your life that changes trajectories. I'm telling you, when you have encountered Christ and when you become a part of his church, it is the church that is also transformed. That's what it means to become. That because you are a part of us, our trajectory is different. To become is to not only be transformed, but to share in Christ's transforming work. So instead of just riding on the boat, you grab an oar. You grab a line. You grab the wheel. You participate in steering and directing and working the ship. Because you are a part of who we are. I truly believe this, everyone in this room, that if you become a part of who we are, we will be a holier and healthier expression of Christ. And without you, we will be less than. So I've enjoyed ending my sermons this series with stories that have happened within the life of the church as they relate to each movement. It's made me want to do more of this in my regular preaching, to tell stories of how faithful God has been in your lives. But I hope these stories have helped bring these concepts down to earth to help us grasp what it means. I could tell a lot of stories of people who've moved from belonging to becoming. One story I would love to tell is a story I can't tell yet. I'd love to tell the story of how bringing Bikram and Ruby Ronafelli into the life of our church could change us. I would love to tell the story, if we decide to hire Bikram, that how because they have become a part of us, we are a better representation of God's good and beautiful community. I would love to tell the story, if we decide to hire Bikram, how because they have become a part of us, we are doing a small thing to reconcile what Dr. Martin Luther King said almost 60 years ago, that 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning is the most segregated hour of the week. I would love to tell that story, but that's not a story I can tell yet. I would love to tell the story of Amber Simons, who with her husband Rob were local coffee shop owners quite a few years ago in Lake Odessa. And through this church engaging with them and welcoming them, through building bridging relationships with them, we created a space for them to belong. And because they belonged here, Amber became a part of this church by joining the staff and by taking on our children's ministry at a time when we really needed someone to take the reins of our children's ministry. I could tell you about how, because she became a part of this church, we restarted our children's discipleship and we launched what we now call Adventure Kids. And how, even though she doesn't fill that role anymore, she paved the way for our current children's leadership. Because she became a part of who we are, we changed. We were transformed. But that's not the story I'm going to tell today. No, today I want to tell the story that... that might not be written yet. Today, I don't want to tell the story of what has happened in the past. I want to tell the story of what could happen. Today, I want to imagine a story. I want you to imagine a story of who we could be. Who we could be. Who this church could be. If you were not just being bridged. If you didn't just belong. But if you became a part of this expression of Christ's kingdom. Now, I know there are many who have already become part of us and are shaping us in very important ways. You filled out the card earlier in the service. There are also plenty here today who would probably not say that they have become a part of who we are in that way. And that's good. There's no criticism or shame for not having written become as part of your card today. Every movement is significant and valuable and important. But the story I want to tell today is how God has gifted you in special ways. How St. Paul wrote, each one of us has been given gifts by the Spirit. Because you do have a God-given purpose and a God-given gift. Every single one of you. Maybe some discernment is needed to determine what that is. But the truth is, you may have gifts that are currently lacking in our particular expression of Christ's body. You might have gifts that we need. Our body might be missing an appendage because you have not become. I promise you, church, God has given you a gift that is unique to you, that is particular to you. I feel like Oprah right now. You get a gift, and you get a gift, you get a gift. Everybody gets a gift! I'm telling you, we all get gifts of God through the Spirit. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, compassion. And the body is incomplete without the various members that belonging to it. I'm telling you, church, we need you to be a full body. Something one of my good friends and one of the best pastors I know says, he said this to me frequently. He said, maybe if you see something lacking in your church, maybe that's what the Spirit is calling you to be a part of. Rather than complaining about how your church doesn't do this or doesn't have that or isn't meeting all of these expectations, maybe that's the Spirit saying, hey, you see a hole? Go fill it. You see your church has a need? Hint, hint. Maybe you're the only one that sees it. And maybe instead of complaining to others about it, maybe that's the Spirit directing you. You have gifts and graces that other people here don't. You do. And if you don't use your gifts and graces for the kingdom, we might be missing out. We might be incomplete. We might be missing a part of our body that we really need. Friends, if there are no bystanders in Christ's community, if there are no mere passengers, if there are no stowaways, and if it's all hands on deck, and if God has made you unique and given you talents that are special to you, gifts that are purposeful for you, then maybe Hastings Church of the Nazarene needs you. Needs you to belong and to become a part of us, to make us a fuller expression of Christ in this world. You see, the story I want to tell today is how beautiful we would be if you not only belonged, but if you became a part of Christ's body. Became a fully functioning member of it. Because when you are rooted in Christ, and when you become part of Christ's community, you change our trajectory. You change our direction, and you help us better reflect the good and beautiful community of Christ. And that is the missional movement. This is the good news of God for the people of God.